And if you did not take advantage of yesterday to do something around your house, well, I guess you have some time this week yet, because the forecast, according to my source, looks good. And in the 70s, high 70s, almost 80. So it sounds like a beautiful, glorious week. Amen? All right. Well, I hope you came to get set free today. We've been talking about spiritual warfare, and there's a purpose why it's called warfare. The first thing you need to understand about warfare is, yes, there are times of respite from warfare. The military has actually, but unfortunately they don't keep a good practice of it. They realize you can't keep people in warfare all the time. They start suffering. The stress of being in combat all the time takes its toll on you. God knows that. God brings respite. But to be honest with you, every day you get up could be a warfare. Could be a day in a battle. Some days are better than others. Some weeks are better than others. I have to be honest with you. I think the last two weeks have just been, there has just been a lot of things happening. And if you are not paying attention, you need to understand this area, not just Mount Gilead, but the central Ohio area around Morrow County is indeed under some sort of spiritual attack. There have been so many deaths connected to people in here. And I'm not saying just because they're your friends, that's why it happened. I'm telling you, the devil is on a full-out rampage to destroy whoever he can. Don't sit by and think, well, we don't know anybody. Listen, Monday morning, I was just happy-go-lucky. By Monday afternoon, I found out my neighbor was killed. Left a young wife, children. So don't ever sit and take it for granted. That, oh, well, you know, we're going to just keep going on. Listen, you one better have your life right with God. And two, you better start taking authority over things that you've got the authority. You've got authority in these things. I have to tell you, the day after, on Tuesday morning when the boys were off to school and Angela was praying with them, usually one of them jumps in and says the prayer real quick. Well, Joshua led the prayer that day, and Jesse was sure. He stopped and he said, "Did you plead the blood of Jesus?" He wanted to make sure. We are in a war. It's not with things, people. It's with spiritual forces and powers of the air. There are rulers over the air. People can claim what they want, but I can promise you things have been going on for a lot longer than we've been here. And we have been given the authority. We need to start acting like it. We need to start taking control over it. One of those things we need to start taking control over is condemnation. Now, I know I've preached on condemnation before, but you need to understand this is a complete tactic of the enemy. This is an enemy weapon that he uses to control you. I cannot tell you how many believers that I see, they are bound by their past. I'm sorry, I did not give you the scriptures this morning. It's John chapter 8, 3 through 11. So go ahead and turn there. I knew I was forgetting something, Miss Kayla. I knew there was something amiss, and I forgot to give her the scriptures. So, wow, look at that. She is fast. She's on the ball. All right. "Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act.'" I want you to understand, they painted a very vivid picture here. You don't have to sit there and try to imagine all the details. These two were in bed. Are you understanding? There was no question about it. But they only brought her. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. He didn't even acknowledge them. Now, we have to understand, John is writing this now. He's also got the revelation of what Jesus has said about that situation. John knew what he was writing. But Jesus knew that it was being brought to him as a test because Jesus had to know the law. Obviously, Jesus knew the law. He is God. But they were bringing one person because the law stated that you had to bring both. Both guilty parties had to be brought, and they brought one to test Jesus. They were willing to stone her. You need to understand, they had probably picked up their rocks, and we're not talking about little tiny number four gravel. We're talking cantaloupe-sized rocks. The religious always loved to throw stones. And they brought her to Jesus to test him, and he knew this. That's how come John wrote this. Because I'm sure that after they got together a little bit later, Jesus says that they did this to test me. But we don't know what he wrote on the ground. He could have been writing down names of people and their sins, names of the Pharisees standing around and their lovers. He could have sat down and he could have wrote the law. We don't know. It's all speculation. But whatever he wrote was enough to make them start dropping their stones. Now, let's carry on. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now there were still people standing around. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are you, those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I need you to understand something. The word condemn, it's a verb. It's something we do, okay? It is something that actually happens. Now, it has four different meanings. It could mean to express an unfavorable or adverse judgment. Is that what was about to happen? Possibly. But he said, "I do not condemn you." To pronounce to be guilty. Well, yeah, but that's not going to hold her, right? A car thief could be held, found guilty, and turn around, walk out of the courtroom, hijack another car. Did it stop him? No. To give grounds or reason for convicting. Well, he had all that. Or how about to judge or pronounce to be unfit for use? Doesn't that sound more like what we're talking about? When people pass condemnation on, they are pronouncing that you are no longer fit for the kingdom because of your past. Does anybody in here have a past? Okay, I want to see more hands in this. Come on. This is class participation. Everybody's got a past. There's not a one of us sitting in here without a past. And all of us are sitting here thinking, "Well, my past wasn't so bad." Your past was probably the worst because of your attitude. Are you following me? That's what makes me the sickest. "Well, I wasn't so evil." Do you understand it wasn't actual purity evil that started all this? It was taking a fruit, possibly an apple. That was always the tradition, that it was an apple. Taking a piece of fruit from the tree. Adam and Eve weren't fornicating. They weren't running around cussing. They weren't killing people. Definitely Adam wasn't going to do that. It was the only woman on earth. It was an attitude that started it. So in the instance above, Jesus did not condemn her. He did not pronounce that she was useless and therefore must be destroyed. I have had the privilege of living in two sets of, possibly three, but two for sure, two sets of barracks that were condemned. That meant that the government deemed that they were unfit for humans to live in, so they stuck Marines in them. Never ceased to amaze me. Like, this building has been condemned for 10 years. Why are we living in it? Well, they had no place else. We have a warehouse that is not condemned. Everything works in it. Just give us bracks. Let us move there. They pronounced those buildings useless, and that usually things are torn down. Now, to this date, those barracks have been all torn down. But anytime something's condemned, we have pronounced it can never be used again. And so it's destroyed. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about conviction of sin. We'll talk about that here in a second. But what Jesus did when he did not condemn her is he did not tie her to that sin forever. He was saying, you will not have to be an adulteress forever. That is why I do not agree with Alcoholics Anonymous, to make you stand up and say, I am an alcoholic. They are tying you forever to that sin. The Bible says you are a new creation. If that's the case, then I would have to stand here and hold my hand up and say, hi, I'm Pastor Hart, I'm an alcoholic. But I am not an alcoholic. God delivered me. My past does not dictate my future. It does not mean I have to go down the route that my grandfather went. It means I get to use my past to help people. That's why you have a past. You can help people. How many of you have ever had a car problem and you hurt, find somebody else has the exact same car, same problem? What do? You say, hey, I had the same problem. This is what I found was to be the problem. You help them. Why do we not do that in the body of Christ? And instead we say, oh, you sinner, you rub snuff. Oh, you sinner, you just judge somebody. The Bible doesn't say you're going to hell. Your breath smells like it, but doesn't say you're going to hell for it. Do you understand this? I'm so sick and tired of preachers bringing condemnation onto people for things that do not bring hellfire and brimstone. Because, well, cigarettes and tobacco, they're an addiction. Yes, they are. So is your caffeine addiction, brother. And I have physically heard them say, do not speak against my caffeine demon. They even acknowledged what it was. It's an addiction. But yet, don't you dare talk about my caffeine. I like the buzz. Do you understand? It's still a drug. Nicotine's just a drug. So let's quit throwing stones at the guys who have that addiction. I pray that you are delivered, because I don't see how you can afford to do it, to be honest with you. Almost $5 a pack. I mean, I knew guys that were giving blood so in the Marine Corps so they could go get their snuff and go drink a beer. They were addicted to it. They had to have it. Anyhow, condemn and convict are two different things. One means to pronounce judgment on or to declare as useless. There is not one useless person in here today, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are still thriving in the world, trust me, the devil's working every day to make you know that you're useless. The other means to let you know what you did was wrong. That's it. It's going to sting a little bit. Has anybody ever figured it? Speeding tickets usually let you know you were speeding. It's going to sting your wallet, right? Sticking your finger in a light socket is going to let you know you just sinned against the laws of electricity. You ground it out and you're going to feel the pain through your elbows, through your shoulders. I don't know if that's where it hits you. Maybe I speak too much on of personal experience of being shocked. It's bound to happen if you work with it. All too often people think that just because they got saved, they will be relieved of all memories of the past. You know what? I praise God for my memories. Not all of them are great. Do you understand? Everybody's shaking their head. Amen. Not all past memories are great. But your past, what happened, is what formed who you are today because of what happened. And if you cannot see that, you are condemning yourself. Stop it. Yeah, you messed up. Don't let that continue to hold you back. The truth is, you will never be free from your past. You carry it right here. There are dates I have ingrained right here that remind me. Why? I have no stinking clue why the date stuck out. But when that date rolls around, I know what I did. It's a reminder to me not to bring condemnation to other people. I have a past. But I've also got a future. And my future's not been written. And just this woman had a past. She actually had a present. But Jesus was letting her know your past and your present do not control your future. People who think they've forgotten their past are usually the very ones who are quick to condemn others. They're the first ones to throw stones. Jesus had to remind these people. That's why I said the oldest first. The oldest one standing there with their rocks getting ready to they were going to stone Kyle, man. I'm going to throw a rock at him. He says one more thing, I'm throwing a rock at him. Jesus started writing. Again, I think we'll know someday what he wrote. He started writing in the dirt. And what he wrote started convicting the hearts of the oldest because they knew they had a past. They knew they were just as guilty as the woman just got caught. And so they started dropping their rocks and they started walking. With age does come wisdom sometimes. It should come. If you find a foolish older person, pray for them. Because you should start wising up after a few years. Again, there's a difference between acknowledging what is sin and continuing to beat a person up over their past or even their present. I need you to understand, you can't continue to browbeat people. I had a woman come to me in a factory that I worked in, and she was married, and she said, Art, come here, let me ask you a question. She said, am I committing adultery if I kissed another man? And I said, yes, you did. Oh, Pastor, what? Those affections belong to her husband, not the other man. So if you're out smooching on somebody and thinking, no, I'm sorry, that affection belongs to your husband. You know, it's an unspoken policy. We brought it up a couple years ago, made some people mad, they left, whatever. If you haven't paid attention, men don't go running around hugging women in here and vice versa for one reason. One, that's my wife and I don't want your sloppy, nasty self rubbing all up on her. There you go. We got an amen. We need more amens. Because first off, you need to understand something. In the New Testament, it was considered wrong for me to even touch another man's wife. Couldn't shake her hand. You didn't touch her. Because he could probably pull out a club and beat you about the head and upper thorax. And be justified. Do you understand? But what we started noticing was, and this was conviction, and God finally spoke through to Angela, because I'll be honest with you, I did not want to go head on with that one. But bless God, he gave me somebody as hard-headed as I am sometimes. And we did that because there have been times, and we talked about it, that there were women whose husbands weren't here or who were single. And they'd give me a hug, but it got a little bit weird. And then there were a couple guys in particular I'd see, and I'd see how they were hugging. If we did hug, we always tried to do this. But these guys were suddenly sucked in at the waist. If I'd had a machete, he'd have gone home a eunuch. That's just all there is to it. I'm going to be flat out honest. Because it was gross and out of line. Okay? So, when those women and those guys are reflecting that affection, they're actually reflecting affection that belongs to their husband alone. And we were given opportunity for them to sin. Calling sin, sin is one thing. But to continue to beat somebody. Listen, people think they hide things from me. I had one person in here once. I never go to McDonald's. I hate that place. I saw them at McDonald's every week. First thing you need to understand, I recognize cars. I can stand here and I can tell you what car you drove up in. And I'm in the office when you drive up. Some of you I see when you leave. I notice cars. It's like Susan. I knew who she was because the first time I saw her, she showed up in her car. And I saw that car around town. I know people's cars. So when I'm out and I say, hey, I thought you said you quit drinking. I don't go there. Well, I know that was your car sitting there. If you ain't figured out, my vehicle's kind of conspicuous. I'm the only Burgundy Expedition with camouflage tape on areas now. Why I keep doing that, I don't know. I'm like, just kind of want to blend in with society here. But I can't let myself do that. I got to have loud vehicles. I got to have bright. I think God does it for me keeping myself in check. Pastor Wheaton, and I had one person say, I know I saw you on your bike here. You might want to check again because I haven't ridden my bike in 2 weeks. There are the possible misidentifications. But you in your car that I see you in every week is not a possible misidentification. Anyhow, let's carry on. All too often people think that just because they got saved, they'll be relieved. I lost my place in my notes. Truth is, I really lost place. How about we change pages? This woman's sin was present, but Jesus was not going to bind her to that sin forever. A memory of what we have done is actually a good thing to have. It keeps us able to walk in mercy. I remember the mercy. Don't you think that this woman remembered that mercy? As a matter of fact, folks, I need you to understand something. It is traditionally believed this is the woman that came to Jesus in that night and she poured perfume over his feet and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. Traditionally, it is believed that this is that woman. Don't you think every person that she came across, don't you think that God brought people into her path who had experienced some of the same things? Have any of you noticed that yet? Not just talking about people or just not telling people about what you've done to brag about how bad you were. I need you to understand this first and foremost. When I tell you things I have done in my past, one, I am not proud of them. But neither am I condemned by them. Too many times I hear people in the pulpit talking about their past and they're really bragging. Because they aren't there to help anybody. They're here to say, well, I was such a bad person. Listen, this is a common thing that when people... They do it every, I don't know why people do it. A biker gets saved and suddenly he's an evangelist and he's going to go up and tell. All he's doing is bragging about the illegal things he did.
He got saved 3 weeks ago. How about he start walking a Christian life? And then tell me what God has done and how what I've been through can help you. There was a well-known preacher that did the very thing that I'm talking about. Told people what he had been in, what he had done. Got saved, promoted way too fast by people because you've got a calling. Yeah, the apostle Paul had a calling on his life too, but Jesus chose to wait before he called him. Even after the road to Damascus, the Damascus experience, he had to wait. Promoting people too early can destroy them. I talked to a person last night and I tried to explain to them that that's what happened to them. They got promoted too early as a believer into something. They spiritually were unable to stand against what the wrong that they saw. And it stopped them dead in their tracks. So you've got to understand. Yeah, you may have gotten saved. God's doing some things. I'm watching your life. I want to know who you are, who you've become. Are you still the same person that you said that you've been freed from? Because that is all too often the problem. Oh, put so-and-so in a motorcycle ministry. They got saved 6 weeks ago. They know how to talk to these bikers. You know what? Let them go on their own. Don't you go endorsing that just yet. Because to be honest with you, why are you still hanging out with the people that are going to bring you down? Well, how are they going to know about Jesus? I didn't say you couldn't go talk to them. You keep hanging. Do you understand? That's how I started on my road down. I shut out all the godly friends and I started hanging out with all my drunkard friends. I'm a Christian. I'm a light. You don't hide a light under a bushel, bless God. You stick it out there in the darkness. Not by itself, you don't. Jesus sent the disciples out two at a time. He paired them up so that they had somebody to fall back on when, hey, you know what, brother, that's smelling too good to me right now. I need somebody strong. You know, God gave Angela and I, we were the perfect balance for a long time. One of us would want to have a kid right then. The other one wouldn't. It worked out good for us for a while because I didn't want to have a military brat. It's not that I didn't want to use my rights and my benefits in the military. I didn't want to get deployed and have my child be born while I was overseas because I was due to be deployed again. So it just balanced out. We balanced each other out that way. And that's what God does with us. Don't sit and think that you can go head on and take on the pornography industry by yourself if you've been bound by it. It's the last place you need to be, brother. Matter of fact, you just kind of need to stay back and pray, because I'm going to tell you right now, that is one I can speak of experience. Unlike drinking, unlike smoking, unlike running, whatever, there's an image burned into your mind. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's an image burned, and you have to stand against the knowledge of what you've done. So don't sit there and think, well, I'm the only one ever the devil tries to condemn. No, baloney. Comes at me every morning. You're not the only one. So I can tell by the silence in here right now. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Saying that since God forgets our sins, so should we, is just an excuse for us to relieve ourselves of any responsibility of our past actions and now hold ourselves in high esteem over those who are struggling. By the way, I am not speaking of things that I'm talking about. I've seen this. We chose to forget what we've done in the past. We ain't talking about it. You talk about it all the time. Do you understand that? But you're bragging about what you did. There's no remorse in your voice. There's no remorse in your heart. God has to choose to forget our sins. But he didn't give you a good memory just so you could forget everything. Because if I forget what it was like to be bound to those things, then I can't pray and help somebody else because I'm going to be. You are condemned. I'm going to pass judgment on people in the name of Christ. Christ didn't do that. How dare we think that we have a right to do that? And don't get offended because I duplicated somebody's religious practices. I'm pointing out you are free. You're not meant to be condemned. You are not meant to be condemning. This highway is a two-way street. You can be condemned and you can condemn others. This is why it's a weapon. And most people that are using it don't even know it. We should walk with a strong memory of what our past has done to us and how, because God did not condemn us, we were able to break free from those chains. That's what you should be. If you don't have a real victory, how can you be free? One of the first things Joyce Meyer had to address before she could even really tell people, I have noticed this more and more in her teachings, she talks about being molested a whole lot more. But she had to get to a point personally in her life where she forgave her father completely and that the memory of it no longer burned. That was something that had to happen. And now, because of what she shares, she can help. Not everybody's ever been molested. A lot of people have. But what happens is, we think, well, she can only manage. Listen, she's telling you, I had to forgive first to be free. I had to forgive my father, I had to forgive my mother, and I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive God. Oh, you speak blasphemy, Pastor. You're the one holding him there. Not that he did anything wrong, but you're holding him. And as long as you're saying, God, you did this to me. You allowed this to happen to me. It was a story I read one time. Somebody asked something about that, and he said, I was there. Oh, it was a movie, that movie we watched with the trailer or the food trailer on the side of the road. And Jesus had manifested himself to these people on this roadside trailer. It was a lunch stand. The Encounter, yeah. And it's on Netflix if you want to watch it. And the little girl saying, where were you when my stepfather raped me? He said, I was right there, honey. I was telling him not to do it. I was there. I'm the one who did protect you because he wanted to do more. Once she forgave God, she was able to move on. So many people are in that situation. Well, God, why did you let this happen? Listen, things happen on this earth. Why did this young man have to die this week? Because somebody fell asleep at the wheel. By the way, I've heard he died too. Things happen. But you can't continue to condemn people. You can't continue condemning yourself. Do you know when Angela, I was setting stuff out for trash pickup, and I worked the rest of the afternoon when I had so much junk to get rid of. But Angela came to the door and she told me. I had to have her repeat it because I thought she said his little boy was killed. And she told me what had happened. Instantly, my heart became heavy. Yes, you know, I'm thinking, man, you know, this little boy, the baby was just born. His wife, But as it kept going on, the devil jumped on my shoulder. Hey, you didn't tell him about Jesus, did you? He was your neighbor, four doors down. You didn't tell him about Jesus. You didn't tell him about Jesus. You didn't tell him about Jesus. The rest of the afternoon. I started feeling condemned, folks. I didn't tell him about Jesus. Not a good place to be in when somebody has just went into eternity. And I sat and pondered and kept thinking about this. I didn't tell him about Jesus. I started beating myself. Finally, God was able to get through to me. He said, if you were supposed to have told him about me, I would have opened that door for you. But that's not the door you're to step through. You see, God opened another door. His wife wants to talk to me. The devil was bringing condemnation over something that the church has browbeat people over and over and over again. Your life is supposed to tell people about Jesus. Yes, there are times you open your mouth and you tell them. But most of the time we're not telling them, we're condemning them. And I just as soon not condemn people. Because if I keep making you feel bad, you're never going to one come back around. But you're never going to get free. You're going to stay in the same cycle over and over and over. See, and if we continue to walk in those chains that are binding us to the past, we're never going to dare. The Bible says to approach the throne boldly. But you know what? We can't. We can't even get into the throne room because we got chains. Because we keep condemning. We're held under condemnation. And by the way, and if you're condemning others, you don't have a right to enter in my opinion. It's not scriptural, but I'm just telling you my opinion on that. Because I got so many people, oh, bless God, that sinner, that hussy, that whore, that womanizer, that this, that. You know what? You were all of those things. How dare you condemn them? That's not what the Bible was given for. That's not what the church is here for. Do you understand that had the church been the real church, walked in the mercy and the grace that it's supposed to have for the last 2,000 years, we would not be faced with homosexual rights. The people have basic rights, just like we do, but we deprived them. I'm not talking marriage. Be honest with you, the church has made a sham of marriage. Don't even need to go down that road, do I? Marriage has become an industry for the church. One time in life, all it took was the head of the household. Bob, in my case, would have been the one to have joined us together. My father-in-law would have been the one doing the ceremony. And I'm sure it would have had something to do with, boy, she's my daughter. I love her. You hurt her, I'll kill you. That sound about close? Okay. I got to tell you, the day I asked him to marry her, I was in uniform. I came up, I'm in my Marine uniform. I was never so scared to death in my life, and he had just been napping. He woke up from a nap, and I'm scared to death. But if we are continually condemning ourselves and falling under the condemnation of what we've done, we will never boldly ask God to move in our lives. Let me give you an example. Mark chapter 7, 26 through 29. Give her a chance to get that up there. God wants us to boldly come before Him. All right. Mark chapter 7, verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Do you know what he just called her? He called her a dog. By the way, just I was going to put this on Facebook. I think I'll just say it here. All you folks that keep calling your dog your child, women, I want you to stop and think about what you just confessed upon yourself. Why? You get mad at your husband when he says you're acting like that. Just saying. Tired of seeing people. Oh, this is my, I saw, oh, I wanted to. Wanted to make, I wanted to puke, I wanted to rear end the car. Was it, what is it? I love my grand dog. How do you get a grand dog? I don't understand it. I thought, this has gone on too far. This is too far. I understand having a pet. I understand that you grow bonds to them, okay? My dog was a part of my family. There was the two of us. That's how we picked where we were going to live. This is our dog. She was never my child. Okay? She was a dog. She licked herself. She rolled in dead, nasty stuff. She was not my child. She was my pet. Let's keep pets where they belong, please. Quit elevating them to the status of human being. That's stupid. There, did I say that good enough? All right, I'm off that soapbox. Verse 28. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." This woman had no natural rights, and that's what Jesus was letting her know. I'm here for the Jews. Your time will come. But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the scraps that fall under the table." He saw her faith. She was not condemning herself because she was Syrophoenician. She was not chained to the past of who she was or what she had done. And because of that, she was able to step forth in faith and boldly. This is a bold act. You did not approach a Jew, especially one considered to be a teacher. But if she had continued to hold herself to the past, well, I don't rate to ask God that. Her daughter would have never been delivered. Doesn't say what her problem was. Just says by the time she got home, that demon was gone. Jesus said, "The demon has gone." You know what the funny thing is? We think demons can't leave unless there's rolling around on the floor, pea soup being vomited up, and heads turning around backwards. He said it's gone. The demon had to leave. Jesus cast out a whole bunch of demons out of a couple men, threw them into, told them they could go live in some pigs, drove the pigs insane, and the pigs killed themselves. But yet another man, demon threw the boy down on the fire, threw him into seizures. Most of the time the demons came out because of the authority. Not because we were standing here with our maple leaves or our tea leaves or our holy water sprinkling it on them. Well, how about we start understanding our authority as believers and in the name of Jesus? You remember what I told you before. Tourette's people do not curse the name of Buddha. It's the name of God. Why? Well, I was born like, well, if you were born like that, then you would throw Buddha and Confucius and the Dalai Lama and Oprah and all those other people in on that. Yeah, she has her own New Age religion. Might as well throw her in there. I can't believe you just talked about Oprah. Yeah, come on. She's leading people astray thinking that they can do it by themselves under the guise of God. And then acknowledges, well, I really don't believe that there's a God. That she may be. Wow. My Bible says, first off, God's male and female. But he recognizes the male He is God the Father, not God the Mother. Anyhow, I better get off that soapbox for you. Condemnation holds you back and makes you feel unworthy and worthless. You got to understand, this woman was feeling condemnation. If she was caught in the very act, let me ask you this. If you're the person who's walking around, you know you've got your badge on, it says the law, and you catch somebody in the act of their crime, aren't you going to take them the very way they are? Think about it. They drug her out in public to humiliate her, to condemn her. They did not care. It was to shame her. She was drug out there, ladies and gentlemen, without clothes. They brought her out to humiliate her publicly. And I dare say probably one of the followers of Jesus probably covered her, especially after they saw what he was started doing. He was not there to humiliate her. He was not there to shame her. But they were. She's in a fetal position, trying to cover herself. She won't even look up. She's just waiting for the first stone. She looks around. Jesus is busy writing. I mean, we wrote him off as crazy. They're talking to him. He's ignoring them. He's writing on the ground. And he stands up, says, "He without sin, throw the first stone," goes back to writing. She's sitting there. She starts hearing the stones drop. She looks around. They've left. Jesus said, "Where are they at, woman?" "They've all left, Lord." He says, "I don't condemn you either." Right then, he cut that chain off of her. He cut the shame. What has happened to you and what you've done has been severed. There are things I've done I'm not going to ever tell you about. I won't ever tell my wife. Oh, yeah, there's some things just better left unsaid, but I know I did them. And I'm here to tell you, I could probably make most of you blush. I don't care what branch you were in, what you did. That's just things I did, not the things I thought. Which we need to talk about that later down the road. The knowledge of Christ is that he does not condemn you. The Holy Spirit will convict you of what is wrong, but he will never, ever, ever condemn you. I praise God for one minister in Jacksonville. He came down, he was really teaching on the Holy Spirit, and he said, "I need you to understand something first and foremost." He said, "The Holy Spirit will not embarrass you. He's not here to shame you. If the Holy Spirit ever, ever has to do that, it's probably your last ditch effort." Because I'm sitting here thinking, "Oh Lord God, I know what's in my heart right now, and I really don't want it here." And I was struggling with a lot of things. Trust me, I was still struggling with unforgiveness. I was getting to walk that one out through the fire, to be honest with you. And so he said that, and that began to free me because I didn't want to go in any service where I thought the Holy Spirit might actually be present. Because he's going to call me up in front of everybody and tell everybody what I did. God's not going to do that. And I personally do not believe God does do that. I do know one well-known preacher who said God showed him something and he addressed it publicly. Maybe it needed to be dealt with then. I don't know. I'm not here to judge that man either. I just know I won't do it. God shows me something going on in your life. I need to come to you. I don't need to tell Kyle Richard's trash. Vice versa. I'm sure you guys would appreciate that. But anytime I do share a story, I want you to know, I try to keep people anonymous. Because it helps people to understand, I'm not the only one in here. I'm not the only one who has fought with this. We've got people in here, drug addictions. porn addictions, alcohol. We've got people that have been abused verbally, physically, and sexually. There are people in every area of life. And I want you to know, you're not sitting here alone. People next to you, behind you, in front of you, they know what it's like. And I tell you to walk in forgiveness. Don't walk in unforgiveness. Walk in forgiveness. Because I did for so many years. And I had to recognize first off who did it. Because I started holding everybody. I had to go back to the original sources. Now, some of the sources have said, well, I had nothing to do with that. You're just making this all up. You just hate me. You're despising me. You know what? Whatever, dude. I'm free now. I don't have to be bound by that anymore. If you choose to continue acting like you never did anything, listen, I've prayed God's mercy on people's lives because I hurt some people. I mean, I tore them down. I have one particular image or time ingrained in my memory that I took a man who was a Marine and I about made him cry. I ripped any bit of self-respect that man had out. I tore him down and told him just what I thought. By the way, I was really hurting at the time. Not a good time to try to be a leader to people. And I've prayed many times, every time I think about him, God, have mercy. Send somebody who can help him. So don't sit there and think, well, I'm the only one who's ever done that. Well, you make a Marine cry, you did something. But neither will I let it control who I am. I've recognized that I did it. And now I pray for mercy for him. God wants you free, but you have to be the one to cast down condemnation. You have to be the one. Why? Because I'm not in your bed in the morning. And if I am, there's something wrong. You've got to be the one to get up in the morning when the devil says, hey. But you remember what you did 20 years ago? Yep, you know what? And I'm free from that. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, devil. You don't know who I am. You have the responsibility to extend the same grace and mercy to someone else. You've got to let it go. You're believing that when you stand before the throne of God that you get grace and mercy, right? You only get from God what you give. And if you're not extending grace and mercy to others, don't stand before God and say, well, God, what about my grace and mercy? You refuse to give it to other people. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant. You should have extended that same grace and mercy that I gave you, but you didn't. It is not always your job to tell people what they are doing wrong, but sometimes God will use you. If you have, trust me, many times I see people, I'm like, oh, Lord God, I can see that coming through. I know where they're coming from on that, and it's not a good place. But not always is it my responsibility to come up and say, well, Kyle, here's what you did wrong, man. No, it's my job to pray. I'm just using Kyle, just so you know. Don't nobody, Kyle must be a bad guy. Richard, man, Kyle and Richard, what's the deal? Phil's not in here, okay? So I keep. It takes two of you guys to take up for him. Just let him know that. No, I'm just teasing. For the most part, that is the job of the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to do his job and quit condemning others. Allow God to do that job. Let me tell you something. I've started seeing more and more of it. And by the way, you can't read everything. You can't believe everything you see on Facebook. Somebody posted something about the other day. 60,000 pastors issued letters from the IRS threatening them. And the guy puts above it, truth. You lying dog. I've been a pastor for 11 years and have not received one letter from the IRS other than saying, sir, you owe us money. That's the only letter they've ever sent me. Yes, we have gotten those. I like those. I like those a lot better. They still get your attention because they send you a letter first telling you they're going to mail you a check. You get the letter, you're thinking, you know that sinking feeling in your heart just went, boom. A letter from the IRS, April 15th was 2 months ago. What's this about? And you open it up and it says, you miscalculated your taxes and we owe you money. Oh, so where's the check at? Next day it's in the mail, but should start charging them interest and fees and stuff like that. That'll never happen. But, you know, just things. You know, for me, I don't like to drink a lot of pop. Okay, it's got some stuff in it. The dentist already told me, because I swish. Anybody else in here a swisher besides my son? We swish everything. I don't get water. It doesn't. Somebody looked and said, did you just swish coffee? I swish it. Dennis told me, he said, if you want to keep your teeth, you're going to quit swishing. Well, they pulled one a while back. So evidently I'm not too worried about it. I'm hoping God comes back while I've still got teeth. I have yet learned to figure out how to stop swishing because I swish with a straw, so it don't matter. But, you know, things we start learning, I've decided, you know what? It's not my responsibility to tell you about that. It's not my responsibility to tell you how bad McDonald's food really is. I eat there from time to time, and then I start to feel like, oh, the golden arches just make me sick looking at them. No more McDonald's. That's not my responsibility to tell you to eat right. Because if we're going to get real technical, get into the Bible, and start living according to the biblical things, you know, one, you're not supposed to mix your juices. Yeah, there goes one. Oh, I like my mango pineapple. Yeah, God said don't mix them. I don't know why. Maybe it's because you mix acids. They kind of tend to do bad things. Beats me. I don't know. But I like the flavor of them. So I just choose not to chain myself down to law. And okay, God, I will have a mango pineapple, whatever, and be okay with it. One, period. Do you see what I'm saying? When you start pointing out everything to everybody, you know, you really ought not do that, brother. You really ought not eat that. You really ought not drink that. You're condemning people. Now, I do have a tendency, and it's just because it's something that was done to me, and so it's just something that when you get older, you start doing to the younger guys. When they do something stupid and you know they're going to pay for it 20 years down the road, boy, trust me, you're going to want to stop doing that right now. Your body will not hold up to it forever. I'm here to tell you, your knees do not last forever if you keep jumping on concrete. Sometimes advice does cross the line. Sometimes we just need to, you know what? You'll figure it out. Been many things I've had to figure out the hard way. Why? Some of us learn that way. But God doesn't want you held in condemnation. Don't hold other people. Let them go. Because when you let them go, you free them to be freed. But and listen, you don't have to remind the devil of his future. I know it was something funny in the Bible. And it encouraged, or not in the Bible, but in Carmen's song, you know, revival in the land. You know, I'm going to remind believers of their past. Well, that'll just remind you of your future. Yeah, that's all good and dandy, but you know what? Jesus said, don't rejoice in things like that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't, he said, because I saw Satan fall. Jesus, when he said that, you need to understand, he was picturing the fall of Lucifer, the most glorious creation that God had ever or has ever made. There has never been a creation more perfect, more beautiful than what Lucifer was. He's saying the day that I saw him fall from glory was a sad day. I'm sure we all have all pictured angels standing around rejoicing. Our enemy has been cast down. No, they just lost a companion, a comrade, a friend. So don't rejoice in, well, we're going to go trample all over all those witches and all those demons and all these other things. You know what? The Bible doesn't tell us to do this. The Bible tells us to pray. Not to gloat, not to brag, but to pray. So do that. And watch people be delivered. Watch people walk in victory. That's a great thing to see. Well, they, bless God, I've been praying for a week, Pastor, and they just still haven't gotten free. Really? You just got the message on Sunday. Come on. Some of us have brains that are like concrete. They're all mixed up and permanently set. It takes a little longer. I'm one of those. It took a few years. I heard forgive, 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 forgive for years. But do you know how long it took me to finally forgive? Pretty much when I quit wishing ill on people. So, I hope you take the revelation that Jesus isn't condemning you of your past. The devil has no right to condemn you. He's going to try, just so you know. But neither should you condemn other people. I don't condemn people because they drink. I pray that they get the revelation of what it's doing to them and the potential that it could do to somebody else. Because I grew up, both my grandfathers were alcoholics. The one died and his heart exploded. You need to understand how bad he was. He was in his 50s and his heart literally exploded. The last time I saw him, I was 13 or 14. So I'm the height I am now. My little sister, who's 9 years younger than me, four or five, little, not even, she might have been four, whatever the math is, three, four, somewhere in there. She was little. He thought that was me. Had no clue who I was. And I swore that I was not going to become an alcoholic. I was not going to drink. I was not going to do this. But you know what? I got a little overzealous. Started following the same footsteps. Thank God he got a hold of me. Because I wouldn't be here today if I'd be alive. I wouldn't be married. And I wouldn't have the wonderful family I've got or the friends. Because I'd allowed something that I used to condemn others for to destroy me. See, that's the downside to condemning people. They don't realize it comes back to destroy you. It opens a door back up for things to come in and destroy you. So don't condemn. Recognize your own faults and start challenging them. Start changing them. You and God are the only ones that can do it. I can't do it for you. I got some weight to shed. I wish somebody else could do the exercise for me, do the diet for me, but I have not figured out how to. I asked Jesse the other day, I was in my recliner. He came in and I said, hey, Jess. He says, what? I said, can you go to the bathroom for me? He looked at me and I said, I know. I said, I just don't want to get out of my chair. Didn't want to get out of my comfort zone and wake up. All right, let's stand. Just quick reminder, we have fellowship after service today. There's lots of good food. Kyle and I were over there scoping it out earlier. I think we left enough for everybody else. Looks like we got plenty. Even if you didn't bring anything, you are welcome to stay. We've got plenty of stuff. Don't ever worry about that. Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a little bit. One little boy's lunch. So we got plenty of food. And if for some reason we run out, well, you know what? They make more down the road. We'll go buy some. Hallelujah. So let's pray. I'm going to go ahead and bless the food. Would ask it, you know, when you go, I think the teachers will probably be just wrapping up. Just go ahead and let the people who are going to be taking care of this get in places where they need to be, and then go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for this glorious day. Lord, we even thank you for the rain. It's going to bring forth bountiful crops and harvests. And Lord, I thank you right now for your grace and your wonderful mercy that you've extended to us. Lord, that you do not condemn us, but that you have forgiven us and you have forgotten it. Lord, I pray now that you help every last one of us to do the same thing. Father, while the past will always be a memory, something that is with us, but it is not meant to pull us back. It is not meant to hold us down, but it is meant to lift us up, to show us that we can overcome those things and that we can help others who are bound by these things. Father, I pray that you give each person that revelation. Father, and if they have found themselves in condemning others, Lord, that they will not condemn themselves for condemning others, but that they will just forgive and move on with their lives. And now, Lord God, I bless them. I bless them as they go out this week, forth in their businesses, forth in their work, Lord God, forth in every endeavor that they go to do. I bless them. And Lord, I thank you right now as well for bringing all of our prom attendees home safely last night. And Lord God, I thank you for all these people today. And now, Lord God, we thank you for the food we're about to eat. We thank you for this fellowship. Lord, we receive the food, we receive the fellowship, and ask that your holy presence be there. In Jesus' name, amen.